All right, it is the Illini Basketball Podcast episode. What is this?
113.
Yeah, nailed it.
First 113.
Yeah, so a little bit of an emergency podcast tonight as the Illini get your boy, Terrence Shannon Jr. commits.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this day. You know, I've been talking him up. You know, he seems like he's, you know, Kipper Nichols, but maybe a little better. So.
A little bit.
I think this is exciting. This is good.
Because if you're serious, you're misremembering how bad Kipper was.
But true. But hey, you never know. Once this guy gets swole with Fletch, he might end up like Kipper. So
yeah, I think the big thing for Shane is that he improved a lot as a 3-point shooter last season.
Yeah.
So that's huge. Plus, you know, the length, the athleticism, the ability to defend. Like, he's going to be a guy that Illinois is going to want to, like, the best guard on the other team is probably going to be guarded by Terrence Shannon Jr. or the best wing, because he can do that as well, because he's what, 6'5", 6'6". So
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of drama with this for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, it's tough to kind of, like, you know, see. And I know that there's actually, I believe there's an E there, so I wanted to flash it back up with an E, because I know people were talking about, like, spell his name right.
Spell his name right. Don't yell at me.
But you know, should we care that we were not the number one choice?
No, because it doesn't matter. He's gonna wear orange and blue instead of
maize and blue,
whatever that yellow is and blue. So, yeah. I don't care. I think it's crazy that college kids are going after college coaches on Twitter. That seems a little.
Especially considering let's just call him out by name, Hunter Dickinson, and was it Jace Howard?
Jace Howard.
I'm not going to, you know, go after them. I'm going to go after their program and their coaches, because are we just going to sit here and act like Phil Martelli didn't have a situation at St. Joe's where he pretty much did the exact same thing they're saying Mark Adams did? And also, Juwan Howard slapped the guy in the face on national TV. So
right.
They're saying real classy. They're not really classing it up themselves.
And from what I understand is that Adams wouldn't let him take classes in the summer to get in. I'm sorry. Once you enter the transfer portal, it's not on that school to pay for your college anymore. So if he really wanted to go to Michigan, he could have paid for his own classes and got into Michigan. So I don't know why you attack a coach for not letting a coach let the kid use his scholarship to leave. That it makes no sense. That's not what a scholarship is. It's not what it's for. So if you want to be mad at that, then I guess be mad at it. But. I don't care that we're, you know, we were second pick. I mean, apparently it had to be pretty close, right? I mean, in one way. So I'm okay with, you know, Michigan hating us and not calling us rivals more, you know, whatever they want to do. Maybe they should try to beat us
and
they can talk some more. But, you know, they did make it to one more game than Illinois in the Big Dance. So I guess they got that on us.
Yeah, they do. Sure. Why not? If they want to use that, they can, I guess. Also, these tweets were deleted pretty quickly by both Dickinson and Howard. Somebody was
not happy.
I think it's interesting that they bring up class, you know, because they're not really classing up themselves. Now, I know that they did get Jalen Lewin, I believe is his name, who is a Princeton transfer, stud at Princeton. The thing is with him is it's hilarious because he's committed to Clemson and then leaves and then goes to Michigan. That was a bit weird, but also it seems like Michigan has a chance with Imani Bates. We'll see how that goes. I know you're thinking that he's going to tear their program down. I don't think that's the case because, you know, he's leaving one toxic environment, and Michigan's nowhere near the toxicity level of Memphis. And I don't really think Michigan's that toxic either, because they keep getting guys. Like, people want to play for Juwan Howard, so.
Yeah. I assume that Illinois knew that Terrence Shannon Jr. was coming, you know, probably 2 days ago, if I had to guess, because it was talked about like crazy yesterday. It might have even been the day before. But do you think that's part of the reason why Granison and Hutchison decided to leave, because they knew that they wouldn't probably get any playing time over this guy. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. I mean, yeah. Grandison can still come back. I don't think Hutcherson.
I mean, what's the
point? I still don't know how to say his name right. So
Hutcherson?
Which one's which? Granderson and Hutcherson.
Yeah, whatever. We'll go with that. Obviously. So, yeah, I think that probably played a part. I texted you, you know, like 48 hours ago. You know, yeah. I was on guy.
Knew something.
I guess, yeah.
Well, hey, if you're Ethan's guy and you are watching this podcast, go ahead and comment in the comment section.
Or call in, you know, whatever you want to do. Go for it.
But I think this is huge. This is what I was worried about with Illinois is how young they were. I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr.'s played, averaged, 29 games a year over the last 3 years, 28 games a year. I believe he was all Big 12 freshman team his freshman year. And then last year, like you said, his three-point shooting, his freshman year was only 25%. It's gone up to almost 40, which is nice. And he's another one of those guys that can score from all three levels. He can hit, runners. He can pull up and make jumpers. And it's just, something that Illinois hasn't ever had or hasn't had with Brad Underwood, besides Iowa, of course. But guards that can do that. So this team's definitely changing. It's a big part of what they needed. And according to all the players, there's more to come. So that's exciting.
Yeah. So
and more to come might mean that Coleman Hawkins is leaving. I don't know.
Well, I think from the player's perspective, like Sky Clark's suite definitely means an addition.
Right.
Rather than a subtraction. But yeah, Terrence Shannon had 20 points. I know it was Montana State, but 20 points and six assists against Montana State in the first round. Only had 3 points against Notre Dame in only 18 minutes. And then he had 8 points on 4 of 9 shooting against Duke in the Sweet 16. So he's been a part of some teams that were very good. I mean, I know in, last year they went the second round, the year before this tournament, they went the second round with Beard. He stays there with Mark Adams for a year. They get to the Sweet 16. And then they were 2020, they were definitely going to be close to a tournament team. They were 18-13. They lost their last 4 games, but their metrics were very good that year. So he probably would have been in 3 straight tournaments if 2020 didn't happen. But yeah. I don't really care about his shooting that much. I think everything about his game excites me. Other than this, I'm not that concerned about the shooting because
sure.
I think the offense is going to be open for him to take shots and make them. And let's think about this. Anybody who's like talking about, his style and how he plays and what he did at Texas Tech. Here's the thing. You had DeMonte Williams starting last year, and I can almost guarantee you that Terrence Shannon Jr. is going to be a more dynamic player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a big part of this as well. 100%. And I really wonder where the roster goes from there.
You think he's as good defensively too as DeMonte, right?
I think he is because he can guard a little bit more versatility because he's bigger.
Yeah.
And think about this. Like the Big 12 has had some really good wing players come through. Guys that he guards, like Ochai Agbaji. So,
Brad talked after Kofi left. He talked about the team a little bit, and he talked about, and this was of course before Shannon, but talked about the guys that he's getting with length and how they will, probably be able to switch more, do things on the defensive end that they couldn't do with Kofi and the smaller guards. And he talked about, run some full court stuff. So he I'm sure they called Terrence Shannon elite because that might be his favorite word. And he also thinks that Illinois is going to be, has a chance to be elite defensively next year. So
I would agree. I think they'll be better defensively than they've been the last entirety of Underwood's time here. They were always a team that was ranked highly defensively, but it didn't really seem like they were like that.
Yeah.
A lot of times. But the length, I think, is the most exciting thing for me because, you look at what they have at the wing spot. I mean, they're not going to be worried at all about
they're all guarding any of those guys. Basically. Yeah. And then, you have guards that can hopefully control the game. I'm still hoping they get a point guard, that has some experience.
Yeah. Courtney Ramey would be good, but I don't see it at this point. I'm not as worried about point guard with experience when the entire roster around him will be like experience without like,
that's true. That's true. And you know, we've talked about in the past, you know, Brad Underwood's offense doesn't require a true point guard. It's just going to be, you know, they're hopefully we'll have enough handlers that it won't really matter. You know, but yeah, so yeah, great get. We got second place, but we still won. So, you know, it's kind of like the Big Ten last year, got second place, but we still won it. So,
yep. So right now the roster, Clark, Sky Clark, 6'3", Jaden Epps, 6'2", Sincere Harris, 6'3", Terrence Shannon, 6'6", Melinda, 6'7", Goody, 6'6", or 6'7". I think he's listed different in both. In all spots, Hawkins 6'10". There's a question mark there. We'll get to that in a minute. Yep. Rogers 6'7", Danger 6'9". So, yeah. Three guys that are 6'3" or under, and then the rest are 6'5" or above, 6'6" or above.
Danger, when Brad was talking the other day, I didn't realize Danger has a 7'8" wingspan. That's insane.
And the thing with Danger that I've read about is his touch. For his size is off the charts.
Yeah. So. You know, I pulled some quotes out of that, and he was speaking about Danger, and he said that he's extremely talented. He's a tremendous ball handler passer, so the game will open up. He said that he has elite handles. He's an elite passer, right and left-handed. For a big, he said that he likes to call him the dancing bear and that he's really light on his feet. So, he's very excited about Dane Danger. And what he can bring, especially as a big that can do more than just post up. And he talked about, you know, the freshmen and their length and how the three guard freshmen they have coming in all have an elite shot. And he talked about how now they have guys that can go one-on-one instead of, you know, relying on just passing and open shots. They could actually do things. And I think Terrence Shannon Jr. can definitely do that himself. He looks like he'll be a better penetrator than DeMonte or Grandison, which we had this year. So that's really nice to see. Brad said he's not afraid of change. He's excited for this team. And the fact that they'll be able to play differently without Kofi. I mean, of course, you always like to have a Kofi, but the offense to do something all relied on, you know, point entry passes to Kofi, and they won't have to rely on that as much, especially with a big like Danger, maybe another big that might come in that, you know, can also do things like that. So I think that we're getting, you know, it was weird there, you know, everybody was talking about how Illinois didn't have – they lost like 10 guys off the team last year, which is crazy. How they only had 9 scholarship players. Of course, they got Terrence Shannon Jr., and there's talk of others. Maybe a talk of a guy entering the portal too. I don't know what's going on with that. But
yeah, let's get to that real quick here. Sure. Coleman Hawkins comments about – you know, it seems like he thinks he's probably coming back.
Yeah.
But I think you got to keep your options open. And doesn't he have to enter the portal within like the next 3 days if he's gonna?
I think by May 1st.
Okay. So, yeah. So I think, honestly, I would lean towards him actually doing that and then possibly coming back.
Yeah. From the sounds of it, it seems like he is going to enter the portal. And then find out who Illinois gets. There's a lot of talk on Pete Nance right now.
Yeah.
Northwestern. I don't know why there's so much talk about it, but there is. So I think Pete Nance would directly affect Coleman Hawkins. So.
But I think there's a chance. I think there's a way for him, Danger, and Hawkins to coexist together. I just don't think that that's something that Hawkins would want, considering how many big minutes he played last year.
Right. Right. Well, the thing that I think is if Illinois does get Pete Nance somehow, I think that moves Danger out of the starting spot rather than Coleman Hawkins.
I would agree. Yeah.
So, I think Pete Nance and Danger kind of split that time. Yeah, and Coleman. I think those three would probably run the, you know, 4-5. They could run it together. They could, you know, switch it out, go with, you know, a quote unquote smaller lineup, but really not that much smaller. So I think it could work out. But I don't think Coleman wants to, not be a guy somewhere. And it was just really weird how he said that, you know, him and Brad haven't talked. They really haven't had an exit meeting yet. And we're literally two, three days away from when he can enter the transfer portal. So, but yeah, I could see him going into the portal, seeing what else Illinois gets, you know, where things drop, maybe seeing who else wants him. I mean, that's always a possibility. So, I don't think anybody wants Coleman Hawkins as bad as Brad Underwood does. So,
okay. So, are they better if you trade Coleman Hawkins for Pete Nance? Does that make Illinois better?
One to one, just
yeah,
flip him out. Yes.
Okay. I think I don't know if it does because, like, I don't think Danger is known for being like this great defender. So, like, defensively underneath, they're going to have trouble.
That's true. And you're not, yeah, you're not wrong there. Do you take Pete Nance's offensive ability over Coleman Hawkins' defensive ability? That's the question you're really asking.
I guess here's the thing. Let me give you a little inside info that I have here on these three guys.
Okay.
Three big portal guys. So number one, Nance, I think it would take an NBA scout or a team or people telling him that he's like giving him bad news about the draft for him to go back and play in college.
Right.
I think as the reports came out from everybody today, focusing on the NBA draft is where he's at right now.
Yeah. What's his, do you know where he currently ranks?
I didn't look at any of that, but okay. I'm sure. I'm
looking. Go ahead and talk. I'm looking.
All right. And then also Courtney Ramey, things seem very quiet on that front. I don't really know where that stands. I think Illinois probably set with the four guards they have now in terms of playing, unless they get a Courtney Ramey type, which would be fine. But
yeah, I think they just need they need experience. That's all I think they need. It doesn't have to be Courtney Ramey. It just needs to be a guy that's played two, three years. Is how I feel about it.
I don't think Courtney Ramey comes here now, considering he's not going to start and probably not going to play very many minutes.
Right.
And he pretty much started most of his career at Texas. So, and then the other one is Imani Bates, which if I had to guess right now where Imani Bates ends up, it would be, if it's in college, it would be Michigan. But I know that Brad Underwood loves Imani Bates because, you know, Brad Underwood loves talent. He loves the big talent. And
Imani Bates is coming here.
I agree. But I also know that they like him a lot and they would love to have him.
Who doesn't? I mean, he was projected to be the number one draft pick out of
high school. I think there's some programs that would stay away, you know, reasons. I think Michigan State obviously is a team that would stay away considering he decommitted from them, which is weird. Like, what a stupid move by him to decommit from Michigan State and go to Memphis. I get not financially stupid, I guess, but also just like basketball stupid would be that move. Imani Bates not happening, especially considering like they don't need him. I mean, it'd be great to have, but
yeah,
they don't need him. So I don't really know where the transfer portal stands at this point. I think I'd be perfectly set with what they have right now, to be honest. The Pete Nance stuff is a little bit weird to me, though.
From what I see, it's late second round to undrafted is what I can find. So
if he's confident that he could be drafted in the second round, then he should do it.
Probably, yeah. But I don't think there's a whole lot of confidence in that right now. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what happens. So it sounds like it's either he stays in the NBA draft or he comes to Illinois, right? I mean, that's kind of it's what it seems like right now. I don't know why everybody thinks that, but that's what Twitter's telling me, and nobody lies on Twitter.
Yeah,
especially since Elon Musk bought it.
Yeah, well, what can you do? I think it's just weird. I don't know. The Pete Nance thing seems weird, but whatever. Who wants to come here? Then go ahead.
So, I mean, apparently Illinois is adding somebody. The players think that somebody's coming soon.
I'm trying to think of it's going to be somebody that's a little bit surprising, I think.
Yeah. I don't even know who's still out there. I mean, there's what, 1,515 kids still out there. So,
well, could it be, like a reclass situation, you know, like a Javonte Taylor 2023 class is like, oh, I'm going. Here we go.
He's ready, huh? Has anybody that has reclassified really done anything? I mean,
Sharif
Bates
Cooper, reclassified, Sharif, right? Sharif Cooper was a stud at Auburn. He reclassed last year. There's one for you.
One guy. Okay.
So what do you think about Adam Miller, TCU or LSU?
I think I didn't expect TCU.
Why not just stay at LSU at this point? I mean, I don't know. TCU would probably be a nice fit for him, though.
Yeah. Tyrese Hunter, you said Purdue, right?
I think there's a chance, but I also think like Texas has a really good chance too.
I don't know if I can believe this. This has Curbelo as sixth in the transfer portal. So,
Tyrese Hunter would be a filthy fit for Purdue if Matt Painter actually lets the dog go, you know, let him go.
Well, they don't have any guards right now, do they?
They don't. No.
So they need somebody, but yeah. I guess we didn't really. Steve, what's going on? How you been? Just talking a little Terrence Shannon Jr. And other things. And also we talked about how 10 guys have left. Brandon Pajimski and BBV both declared for the portal, I believe, since the last time we did this. So you have that. Are you upset about either of those guys leaving?
Nope.
Okay. By the way, two of my breakout players over the last 3 years. So let's not forget that.
That's fair.
They definitely broke out of Illinois and they're going somewhere else.
Yep. Richard Yoakum in the Twitter chat says Miller will never be happy regardless of where he is. I think that's an unfair criticism, but
I agree. You know. Yeah, that's not. I don't agree with that. The only reason I don't agree with it is because we don't even know if he was going to be happy last year, because he got hurt and didn't play.
The reason that he entered the
and portal, then Will Wade got canned.
The reason that Miller entered the portal is like 100 times better than the reason that most of the guys are in their portal. Like the program is in complete shambles. The coach got fired. They probably won't be able to be in the tournament next year. So Steve, just go to TCU.
Steve's excited about Terrence Shannon Jr. Doesn't seem to care about the guys that left. So
he's in the same boat as us. I mean, I don't really see anywhere where it's like a guy that people are going to be overly excited about. Like, I guess the fan base would probably be excited about Pete Nance because we've seen him play against us so many times, and it's stealing Northwestern's best player pretty much, which is hilarious because that program's a joke. So that would be cool. But, yeah, I feel like you talk about the programs in this state just, like, ascending and deep. Like, Illinois is going on the up. They have been on the up. And DePaul and Northwestern are only getting worse. Like, it's to the point, and Northwestern really becoming that now, it's to the point where a player that commits to DePaul or Northwestern and everybody questions it, like, why would you do that? So, not good for them. But I think we need to shout out Tim Anderson and the work that he's done.
Absolutely.
You lose two snake assistants who go to Kentucky. You bring in to end a little dweeb that went back to, I guess, did he go back to Gonzaga?
He did, yeah.
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 Back to, you know, whatever he does with Mark Few. leave it between them, I guess. So you bring in Tim Anderson. He's done a great job. And
yes, yeah.
It's too bad that Chester Frazier hasn't been able to, reel in any like Virginia Tech. Like Nahim Aline would have been a very nice fit from Virginia Tech. I don't remember where he's going. He committed somewhere though, and I just completely forgot. So there you go.
I mean, honestly, Tim Anderson's been the one that's done everything. Well, I guess not the like freshman, but
I think UConn, the Himalayan UConn.
Anderson is making Illinois. Yeah. Getting Chicago kids, which, you know, has always been a struggle. I think Io helped with that a little bit, but Terrence Shannon Jr., of course, is from Chicago originally. So
he got Terrence Shannon Jr. to commit to DePaul. I mean,
right?
That is a hell of an accomplishment.
And Sky Clark. Imagine that. Imagine if those, if he would have still been there and they went there.
It'd still suck. so, yeah.
Now we're going to get to see him play for Illinois. So
roster looks good. Yeah. I feel fine about it.
What are there, three open spots left?
They're going to get somebody. I just don't know the degree of the
player. I think Illinois probably fills two of them. Brad said last year that he likes leaving one open to get guys like Dane Danger that leave early in the season. So, yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think that everybody was kind of down after Kofi. Terrence Shannon Jr. is going to bring everybody back up. Sounds like Illinois might get another one here soon. I don't know who. Ethan's guy doesn't know who, apparently, because we don't have any inside knowledge right now.
A lot of things are quiet, you know?
So, but it's all right. You make a splash, take a week off, and see what happens. We'll see what happens with Coleman Hawkins. Like we said, he has 3 days until, you know, you can't enter the portal anymore. So, we're probably going to add – there's probably going to be more players going into the portal within the next little bit just across college basketball. But you got to be happy at this point. Illinois is definitely not going to be the same team they were. I mean, they literally don't have anybody that they had from last year, it seems like. But I think they're going to be fun to watch. I think they're going to be really fun to watch. They're going to be quick. They're going to penetrate. I wouldn't mind seeing them press like Brad's saying. That would be great. I think he did that at Stephen F. Austin. It worked out really well for him. So we'll see. Steve said he's glad all the mice are gone, and he likes big guards. Yeah, that, Brad's really going after those like 6'6 guys. And even if they're not 6'6, they're 6'2 and they're beefy. I mean, Sky Clark's just built differently than, you know, a Trent Frazier or a Plummer. He's kind of built more like, I'd say, DeMonte, but just a better guard.
So. Yeah. They definitely reshaped the roster and built the roster in a way that I wanted them to after the tournament loss, getting bigger, more athletic, better shooting likely.
Yep.
So we'll see how they develop. You know, they'll have that early season test in Vegas in November with teams that are likely to be good.
That'll I'll be there. Are you going to be there?
It's looking like I'll be there for sure. I mean, absolutely. I will be in attendance, but it'll be interesting to see how their non-conference schedule looks, because I think they need some big tests for this team. And then we'll see that. I mean, the Big Ten, I feel like it's going to be a little even more top heavy this year, because I think Indiana and Michigan will be good. I think Ohio State's probably going to be good. Yeah. Illinois should be in there somewhere.
And I do like that they're playing in that thing in Vegas. We're going to see really quick where they're at. You know, there's two teams that are predicted to be in the top 10 ish playing in that. And then Virginia should be pretty good too this year.
So. Well, two of the last three national champions.
Yeah, it might be four top 25 teams by the time everything shakes down. So
could be. All right, I guess that'll do it for us. I don't know when we'll be back with number 114.
I am also glad Kofi is gone. Opens up the paint for our wings and guards. A lot of people are saying that. I'm not on that boat, but I understand it. And I think they're going to be fun to watch without him. So,
I think that was always something that we thought would be said. It'll be interesting to see. Nice experiment. See where they're at with some of those guys. We'll find out. But episode 114 will come. I'm sure when we get some clarification on the whole Hawkins thing.
Yeah.
And
might be sooner rather than later. So we'll
Pete Nance thing, I guess we'll find out about. So,
yeah.
All right.
So
episode 114, we'll be back soon and we'll see you then.
Later.